guys. How y'all doing? Good. Turn with me to Colossians, and the chapter is 4. And we're going to pick up at verse number 2. As you can tell, we're kind of getting towards the end of our study of this letter. My goal is to probably have about 2 more classes after this one before we conclude this study. But at this time, I want to go ahead and kind of do a quick review as to what we've studied so far. We've studied this letter, and we studied the purpose and overall objective of why Paul is writing this letter. His goal is to show that the supremacy of Christ, and that Christ is indeed our Lord and Savior, and he should take first place in our life. When we look at this letter is broken down into 3 different sections. Chapter 1, Paul talks about the doctrine of Christ. He talks about why Christ should take first place in our life, why he is superior. Then in chapter 2, he does what we call the defense of that doctrine, right? He tells us and shows us how we ought to defend the doctrine that he just talked about in chapter 1. In chapter 3 and 4, it kind of goes together. Chapter 3 and 4 is the application of the letter. All right, Paul transitioned from talking about the defense of the doctrine, and he starts to talk about how we can, as Christians, how this should play in our lives. What does a true Christian look like? And remember, we open up in Colossians chapter 3, we talked about some identifying markers, right? Those markers that show that we are indeed Christians. Some of those markers are that we set our affections on things above, right? And that we focus on Christ, and we focus on spiritual matters. Also in chapter 3, Paul talks about things that we need to put to death, right? We need to put to death fornication, right? Covetousness, idolatry, things of that nature. Then he closes out the remainder of chapter 3 by talking about the new man, the new person, putting on those spiritual clothes, clothing ourselves in the righteousness of Christ. And he goes on to tell us what indeed that looks like. Then we also in chapter 3, we talked about the relationships, right? Paul talks about if you are going to be a Christian, right? If you are going to walk with Christ, then you need to have certain ways that you live your life. And the closest relationship we can have is with our spouse, a husband and wife. So Paul tells us how a Christian should act, how a Christian should treat each other, right? The wife and the husband, how they should treat each other. He also talks about the children, right? How the parents and the children ought to act, right? And then he talks about our relationships of those outside the household, in particular, those on our job, right? Our masters, those that we work for. So Paul gives us a clear picture of what it looks like to be a Christian, right? What it takes to be a Christian, how we ought to live, the application. So we're going to transition now into some other things that Paul emphasized and shows as very important, right? If you're going to make any spiritual application, if you're going to be a Christian, right, you need to have some of these type of things in your life, right? So, and Brother Obed, if you don't mind, can you read Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse number 2, and we're going to stop at verse number 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2 through 6.
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech...
Oh, question. What does it mean? Have everybody heard the phrase, somebody bringing a knife to a gunfight? Have you ever heard that phrase before, right? We've heard that phrase, you know, somebody bringing a knife to a gunfight, right? You might ask, like, Brother Brown, how does this apply to the lesson, right? Well, if you think about what is Paul talking about here? He starts off verse number 2 talking about prayer. And the reason why I emphasize the saying of bringing a knife to a gunfight, because many of us as Christians do not use the tool that we have that's most important to us. And that's prayer. That is prayer. God has blessed us. Having a way to communicate directly to the person that have created this universe, that have created everything around us, God has given us an avenue to which we can communicate with them. And yet, as Christians, that is, me personally, I can only talk about myself, I think that's one of the things that we neglect in our life. We don't have a strong prayer life, right? And when we're going in battle with Satan, we're taking a knife to a gunfight, right? That Satan, he doesn't play fair, right? He does not play fair. And one of the most powerful tools we have as Christians is prayer, right? We have prayer. So Paul is telling us, notice that when in chapter 4, in verse number 2, we're still in the application piece of what it takes to be a Christian or what a Christian should look like. And Paul emphasized prayer. That if you are a Christian, you should have a strong prayer life. Why? Because we live in a world that tests our Christianity and tests our faith each and every day. We live in a world that we get diseases and we have troubles in our lives and things of that nature. So we should have a strong prayer life. So Paul tells us in verse number 2, he says, listen what he says here. He says, continue in prayer. What does that mean? What does that mean to continue in prayer? I know that there is a scripture, and I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17 that says what? Everybody know that scripture? Pray without ceasing, right? What does Paul mean when he say pray without ceasing? What's that? Continue praying, okay. Don't stop. Okay. Okay. And just skipping days, huh? Mark it on the calendar. This day I'm going to pray on this day right here. At this time, I'm going to pray on that time. Okay. Right. So what Paul is talking about is that we need to be persistent in our prayer, right? It doesn't mean, all right, that we ought to never stop praying. All right. Meaning that you just stay, on your knees and just pray 24 hours a day. No, is that we need to be persistent in our prayer, right? We need to be consistent in our prayer, right? Our prayer needs to be heartfelt, right? We need to pray to our God. Again, this is one of the strongest tools that we have as Christians, right? It's the power of prayer. And if you ever study the Gospels, I mean, wow, Christ prayed all the time. He prayed all the time. Almost anything that he was encountering, he prayed. And let's continue to look at the verse. Now watch this here. It says, continue in prayer and watch. What? Now that is a term that us as Christians should ring a bell in our head, right? Watch and pray. Watch and we sing a song, I believe in our song books, is the hymn 703. Right? Watch and pray. What does it mean to watch and pray? What does it mean to watch and pray? All right. Anybody else? Alert and aware. Right? Alert and aware. Right? We need to be alert. Right? And the thing is that a lot of times you see your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that say, pray for me. Right? And I hope as Christians that we do. Right? We pray for one another. But if you notice that a Christian or somebody is going through something, watch, pray for them. Pray for them. What did Christ tell the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he tell them? Anybody know? Well, let's turn there. Let's go to Matthew. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy or something. Let's turn to. There you go. There you go, sister. To watch for him while he prayed. And not only that, is that if you read all the gospel accounts, it kind of gives you a clear picture of what's going on, right? Is that the disciples, they were heavy-hearted, right? They were heavy-hearted. Not only the disciples, but Christ as well, right? Because Christ knew what he was about to face. But Christ is telling the disciples, right, that, and they were heavy hearted, right? Because not only, because Christ had just told Peter that he was going to deny him three times, right? So they were heavy hearted. And the thing is that Christ is telling them to watch and pray that they don't fall in temptation. He was preparing them. He was preparing them. He knew what they were going to go through. Just as Christ. Do you think Christ wasn't tempted when he was praying in the garden? Yes, that human side of him kicked in. So he told them to watch and pray. And unfortunately, they fell asleep. Why? Because they let the troubles and their sorrows get in the way of their prayer and praying to God. So it's important, right, that we watch and pray, that we be alert, that we be aware, right, of what's going on around us. Not only with us, but our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as well. We have to be alert as to what's going on, and that and Paul tells us that we ought to be persistent in our prayer, right? We need to be persistent in our prayer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And Brother Obed, when you get there, can you read verses 1 through 8? So what is Christ saying in this parable? What is he essentially saying? Notice that when Christ describes the judge, right? Christ describes the judge as a person that did not fear God and didn't care about people. He repeats that like twice. Also, he calls him an unjust judge. What is Christ doing? What is Christ saying here? Right? You have this judge and you have this widow that wants the judge to avenge him or to correct the wrong that has been done to her. And the judge is pretty much ignoring her until the woman kept persistently asking the judge to do something about it. And the judge, even the judge admits that he does not fear God. But yet he grants her her wish, right? What she wanted. But what is Christ telling us? What are we trying to take out of this? Okay, pray without ceasing. Okay, persistence pays off. Okay, we're getting there. Yeah, that's okay. Anybody else? What Christ is saying there is that if this unjust judge, right, even though she was persistent, and that this judge was unjust and that this judge did not fear God, if he would listen, what will you think a loving God that has created us, that has sent heaven's best? Wouldn't you think he would listen as well? So that is what Christ is telling us, that our God, and the answer we can find is in verse number 7. And he says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect?" Yes, God will hear his own people. He hears our prayers. God will take care of us. But we have to have faith. We have to pray to our God. So we see that if an unjust God would do that, a man that didn't fear God would do that, what do you think a loving God would do? Go ahead, Brother Obey. You smile. You got that wicked smile on your face. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, just to kind of piggyback off what you're saying.
So we see that when Christ describes that he gives us a description of three or four things, right? That is his elect, right? And that the fact that God does hear us, right? We need to understand that, right? And when we pray, we all know that God is just not going to act immediately. He may not say, hey, it may not be the time that he wants to answer that prayer. But we have to stay faithful, right? James 4. Okay, James 4. Okay, so let's go ahead and press on, right? So we see Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2, Paul tells us about if you're going to be a strong Christian and if you're going to have the proper application of your life, You need to have a strong prayer life. Then he goes on to some things that we should pray for, right? Brother Obed, read verse number 3.
Meanwhile, praying also for us.
So he tells us in verse number 2 to consistently pray, right? Then he goes on to tell us what to pray for, some things that we can pray for, right? To pray that God opens a door of utterance, right? To speak the mystery of Christ. What is Paul telling us there? Now, this is important when it comes to our evangelistic efforts, right? What is Paul saying there? These are things that we definitely need to be praying for. That God opens a door. Right. A door of opportunity. To do what? To spread the gospel. To talk about the mystery. And we in those who have studied the mystery of Christ, you can read about it in Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 1 and following, right? We talked about that mystery, right? So we see that Paul is telling Christians that not only do you continue and pray, but pray for the opportunity that we can spread the gospel. We all should be looking for that opportunity. We all should be praying for that. Yes, we have door knocking efforts, but how about when you're on your job? Or family function. We need to pray that we have the opportunity to spread the gospel. All right, let's go ahead and continue on. Brother Obed, read the next verse for me, please.
That I may make it manifest as I
ought. Verse number 5 as well.
Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside.
Okay, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. When we talk about walk, we're talking about somebody who's actually practicing their Christian life, right? And he says to walk in wisdom. And we studied the word wisdom there, right? We studied what knowledge is, understanding, and what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is the maturity, right? The to be able to apply the things that we learn in our lives. And Paul tells us that when we are speaking to people, that we ought to have wisdom. We have to have wisdom. Why? Why do we need to have wisdom? Why wisdom? Okay, all right. Oh, right. It's easy to take scripture out of its context, isn't it? Right? It's easy to do that. We need to have wisdom. When we're out there talking to folks, right? We need to make sure that when we're talking to people about the gospel, right, that we know the full application of it. Not just knowledge, but the wisdom. Because they may come back and ask you questions. Right? So we need to have the wisdom to be able to truly understand and how it all works together. Right. So we need to have the wisdom to be able to talk to people about the gospel. Not only that, it goes on and says he goes on to tell us the people that we ought to be talking to. He said, them that are without. Who is that? They're not Christians. That's who we ought to be going after. Right. Do we go door knocking? Yes. How about other opportunities? Do you have other opportunities to spread the gospel? Yes. And when speaking of opportunity, it says redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. You know, I always get up here and I'll talk about my personal business. But my wife, she has a strong shopping habit. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Constance. You know, right? And every time she bring bags home, right? Every time she bring all these bags home, I just give her a look, right? And she would say, well, this was on sale. This was on sale, you know? And so I was reading this passage, and I was thinking about redeeming the time. It's kind of like that, right? That you may be in a mall, and something is 90% off, right? Something's 90% off, and they say, well, the sale ends today. Instead of going home and going back and trying to purchase that item, since you're already there, you're taking the opportunity to get it. That is what Paul is talking about here, is that when you have an opportunity to spread the gospel, do it then. Don't wait, because you may not get another opportunity to do it. Redeem the time. Make use of the time that you got. If you have an opportunity to spread the gospel to somebody, do it. I'm so glad that brethren sat down with me and redeemed the time and helped me understand what I was doing wrong in my life. Each and every one of you that have obeyed the gospel, somebody taught you. What if they didn't redeem the time? What if they're like, nah, I'll put it off. I'll talk to them later. There you go. You wouldn't be redeemed. There you go, right? So Paul is telling us that we ought to take advantage of the opportunity. We ought to take advantage of the opportunity to spread the gospel. And we need to do it in what? Wisdom. See, we can quote scripture all day long, right? Those of us who has the ability. I don't have that ability, but I'm working on it. But to be able to quote scripture right off the top of the head. But what good is that if your life is all jacked up and they see it? That's what he talks about, walking wisdom. Right? To those without. And Joel knows his cries, babies, right? He's like, I know that cry. Right? So we when we get the opportunity, we ought to redeem the time to spread the gospel. All right, and Brother Obed, read verse number 6.
Let your speech always
let it be seasoned with salt. Right? Let your speech be always with grace. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Brother Obed, when you get there, can you read verses? Let's go with verse number 16. Through verse number 22. I want to harp on verse number 22, but I want to make sure we get the context here.
So he came to Nazareth, where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel.
Look at verse number 22. It says, and all bear witness, him witness, and wondered at the graciousness, right? The graciousness, right, of the words that proceeded out of his mouth. Graciousness. What did they see? What did they see? When we're talking to somebody about the gospel, right? Or we get into a discussion and there's a back and forth. Do people see the graciousness coming out of our mouth? Are we getting outside of ourselves as Christians? Are we rightly dividing the word? See, we have an opportunity to spread the gospel. There is no secret formula, right? There's no secret formula on how to spread the gospel. And sometimes, and you know, I'm pretty sure that the elders and some of those within the congregation, when you're spreading the gospel, sometimes you have to understand who you're talking to, your audience, right? Because sometimes, you know, you can talk to somebody that may know a lot about the Bible, and you can talk at a certain level. Sometimes you have to break it all the way down. You have to know who you're talking to. And not only that, is that what you say is so important. Are you beating them upside the head with the Bible just to prove a point that you know more than them? I used to do that when I first obeyed the gospel. I was so proud that I knew something. I wanted to go and just show off, right? And what was it about? Was it about Christ? Was it about that individual? No, it was about me. Did I have graciousness? No. That's something that I had to learn. I had to learn to control myself. So we see that Christ, when he spoke, they automatically saw it. The graciousness. And it's the same thing that we ought to have when we're speaking to people about the gospel. What is, when you're eating something, what is the most noticeable flavor that you always taste? Salt. Salt. Now, I've been, you know, sick in the hospital and you know, I had some bad food in my life, right, where you automatically know when somebody don't season the meat, right? Right, when there's no salt, right? You know, when you, some, especially if it's something that your favorite meal, right? And you know, you automatically know the level of salt that's supposed to be right. You know that, right? No matter what meal or what culture or whatever you come from, you know what that flavor is supposed to taste like. And so when we go back to Colossians, right? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Listen what Paul tells us there, right? Paul says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Needs to have that flavor. What is one of the most important things that salt do? Preserves. It preserves. Right? We need to understand that our speech, it needs to be seasoned with salt. What we don't want is it to be too salty. And when it gets too salty, that means that we get into arguments, right? Getting into arguments. That is not what the purpose is about. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. This is a very familiar passage. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. Brother Obed, can you read that for me, please?
But sanctify the
Lord. Hear what Peter says there, that we ought to give a reason of our hope. And he tells us what? With meekness and fear. That should be our disposition. Right? Because again, who are we talking to? We're talking to the people that are without. Those who are not Christians. And when you come across somebody and you're talking to them, especially somebody, if you, it's so many times that I've talked to people and they have already talked to somebody from the Lord's church. And unfortunately, the person that they talked to was not seasoning with salt. I don't know if they're using sugar or whatever, right? It was not. Either the person from the Lord's church did not fully explain with wisdom, or the person from the Lord's church was too salty. They got argumentative, right? They got argumentative. It's not, when we have in our discussions, when we out there spreading the gospel, right, we shouldn't get argumentative. You know, even when we out there door knocking, I've had some characters answer doors, some serious characters, you know, and that want to be combative. But the proper way to go about things is to do it in wisdom and grace. Say, hey, you know what? We can have a Bible study about that. Let's set up a time to do it instead of giving to arguments. Because those who are walking around and y'all are sitting there arguing is defeating the purpose. They're gonna look and say, look at those two fools sitting there arguing, right? They won't be able to tell which one is which. So we need to understand that when we out here preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel, first of all, before we even get there, we need to be praying for each other. And we need to be consistently praying, have grace in our heart. And not only that, is that our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. Salt preserves. Salt has flavor. So we need to understand that is important for us, and not only those who are going out and doing this, but we need to pray for others. Brothers around the world, we have people laboring all around the world. So one of the things that we all are commissioned to do is what? Preach the gospel. We're all commissioned to do it. So that you can't be negligent in your job. So Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 4, right, in verse number 2 through 6, he tells us the power of prayer. That we should consistently pray. not only consistently pray, but to watch and pray. Be alert of what you're praying for. Then you pray for the opportunities to go out and preach the gospel. Not only that, is that when you're preaching, that you have grace and that you take in advantage of the opportunity as you're spreading the gospel. And that the way that we go come across is that our communication needs to be seasoned with salt. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, sister. Any other comments? Not only that, it closes the door for future opportunities for somebody else to come in that's trying to share the gospel. It gave a good lesson on the sower, right? You know, that talks about Paul telling that he was, you know, he whatever person or he was encounter, he tried to get to their level. He tried to spread the gospel to their level. That's what we ought to be doing, right? That's what we ought to be doing. And I know that it gets frustrating, and I don't want to take up too much time. I know it gets frustrating when we do a door knocking, right? So especially you see somebody peek behind the curtain and, you know, and close the door, or somebody close the door in your face or you know, rude to you. But like Brother Obed said, you know, you went out there and you tried to sprinkle that seed. You know, any other questions or comments? Let us, go ahead, brother. I can't hear you, brother. Oh, put your book in the door? Oh, booklet. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I was like, man, you trying to get shot, man. Man, this is Texas, man. Yeah, okay. All right. Let us close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you, Lord, graciously, Lord, and thankfully, Lord, that we're able to come and to study thy word. Lord, we ask and pray, Lord, that we continue to have a strong prayer life, Lord, and that we constantly pray to thee, Lord, and that we're vigilant and that we're watchful, Lord, and alert and aware of the things that's going on around us, Lord, and that we don't let the cares of this world put us, lull us to sleep, Lord, that we're constantly praying and watching, Lord, and not only for ourselves, but our fellow brothers and sisters that are laboring in thy vineyard. We ask and pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us, Lord, and that we, when we do have an opportunity to present thy word, thy gospel, thy beautiful lessons of life, Lord, that we do so, Lord, with graciousness in our heart, Lord, and that humility, Lord, that those who are receivers, Lord, would have a clearer understanding of what a Christian should do and how they should conduct their lives. Continue to be with us, Lord, and forgive us for our sins. Bless those, Lord, who are sick, those who are traveling, those who are out of town. And we ask and pray that you continue to be with our labors here at Southeast Body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.